Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. And sitting across from me, as he is typically on these occasions, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
I kicked the map into the creek.
Wow, that was a short quote.
Yes.
And if you know the genesis of that quote, please let us know.
And if you don't, I'm so scared.
Okay.
All right, I give it away now. We're going to talk today about geotagging and its relationship to privacy. And how geotagging can be a really cool thing and can be a really neat way to interact with people online, as well as to keep track of things that you've done. And also how sometimes it can be a bad thing. Like it can give tools to people you may not want to associate with ways to harass you and make your life miserable.
Yeah, I'd like to make it clear too. We bring these kinds of things up a lot and we get criticized on occasion. From people who seem to feel that we're unequivocally saying that these computerized tools are dangerous and scary and therefore
and
you should turn off all technology. And that's not what we're saying.
No.
Like just about every technology we've ever mentioned on the podcast, not all of them, but the vast majority of them.
Right.
You can use tools for all kinds of purposes. I mean, you could hit somebody in the head with a hammer, but it's really great for pounding in nails.
Man, wait, what? I have been using the hammer in a very limited way.
I should have known that was going to happen. So,
bang, bang.
So, thanks, Maxwell.
Thank you.
Yeah, doesn't that beat all?
No. We're off to a rollicking start
on
this one.
We really are. No, geotagging is one of those things that can be really, really useful for all kinds of informational purposes. It can be used for fun.
Yeah.
But if you give, like, you know, put your phone number up on a billboard and some people you like will call and other people you don't will. So,
yeah. So
just be careful how you use that. And that's the essential message. But let's get into geotagging and what it is and
right.
maybe, you know, in great, much greater detail, we'll get into the privacy issue here.
Sure. Yeah. So geotagging is exactly what it sounds like. It is tagging some sort of information with geographical a layer of geographical information.
Yeah. We're talking about metadata here.
Yes.
And metadata is information about something.
Information.
Well, yeah. Information about information. That's usually how it's described.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have a book in front of you. Well, it's got a title. You can talk about the publisher. You could talk about what kind of paper it was printed on. You can get into all kinds of information
about
that.
You can talk about how many pages it has.
Exactly.
How many words per page on average.
But when we talk about geotagging, you could geotag a book. Hey, it's, you know, it came from London. Look, it says that right there on the page.
It's on my shelf.
Exactly. But yeah, you take a photo on your smartphone, and it may include information from the GPS device that you have also in your smartphone. So you can say, go to the Grand Canyon and take photos of your summer vacation. And
right.
You could say, this is specifically where this photo was shot. So if somebody, one of your friends, you post this on your photo sharing account on the web, one of your friends wants to go, oh man, I'm going to the Grand Canyon this summer too. Where did you take that picture? I want to see that for myself. Well, you could say, well, these are the coordinates. So there you go, geotagging.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of different potential applications for this. There's the fun vacation sort of version that you were talking about. For example, let's say that you go on a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And along the road trip, you take all these different photos. And then you want to organize the photos into a online photo album. Maybe even something that's more like an interactive a scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go and create that. Well, there are programs that will allow you to do that, and what they do is they read the metadata connected to those images.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you're using a smartphone or you're using a digital camera that has a GPS receiver built into it, because there are some out there,
mm-hmm.
not all of them, but there are some, and you take photos. What's cool is that most cameras now, almost all of them, will timestamp a photo.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it'll give you an exact date and time that that photo was taken. So as long as the camera's clock is correct and calendar is correct, you're going to have that information included on the image. Then you have the additional information of the GPS coordinates. So you got longitude and latitude. That gets thrown in there. With the right program, you could dump a ton of digital, not really a ton because they don't weigh anything, but you could drop a lot of digital photos into that and have it arrange those photos by date and time and by location. So you could create an interactive map where someone could then go and look at how you went on your vacation. Like following the photos, they can retrace your steps, see the sights you saw, and sort of live your vacation just by going through these links. And, you know, that's just a basic application of geotagging.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other ones. I mean, there are tons of reasons to use it for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I used an example recently when I was talking about this on a local news program. For example, let's say you have a food truck,
mm-hmm.
and let's say there's maybe four or five locations that you take this food truck to regularly throughout the week.
Right.
And as a way of showing people where this is, you may take photos of your food truck. So one, they know what it looks like, but you mm-hmm. include geotagging information and a map application. So it shows exactly where that truck is located when it's, when its operating hours have it at that particular spot.
Fifth and Main.
Exactly. So then you've got a map that pops up. There are applications that incorporate this in such a seamless way that you really don't have to do anything other than make sure that GPS setting is turned on. Once you've done that, it does all the work for you. For example, TwitPic does this.
Mm-hmm.
If I take a photo with my Android phone and I have the GPS feature turned on when I'm taking photos, so it shares location data.
Right.
And I enable the location data on TwitPic. So there are two spots where I have to agree to do this.
Right.
If I do both of those things and I take a photo using my camera and then upload it to TwitPic, not only will it include that geographic location, it'll actually pull up a Google Maps image and show where that photo was taken. And if you want, you can switch from map view mode to satellite view mode and see a satellite picture of where I was standing when I took that photo. We tried this on camera and it worked so well. I took a photo from, we have a balcony here at How Stuff Works, a nice deck, really, that I stood out on and I took photos of. And using the satellite, you could see the exact location I stood where I took those photos. And it was, you know, a satellite photo of it, not just a map location. So that's kind of cool. You can use that for all sorts of reasons. But here's the thing about data People, if people know how to access it, they can exploit it.
That's right. It's a bad idea.
Can be a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I was going to say this in a specific instance, but let me back up for just one second.
Sure.
Geotagging is something that, of course I knew about it. It's pretty common today, especially for people with smartphones. But when I looked into it, looking for a little history, as we are wont to do on this show, I think the first mentions I saw people were still talking about it as though it were a new phenomenon were around 2007, 2008.
Yes.
And that's when consumer smartphones started becoming more popular.
Yeah, the iPhone had come out in 2007, and that really launched the smartphone craze, at least in the United States.
Yeah, for consumers.
For consumers,
of course,
yes,
yes. Of course, there were the memory cards used in digital cameras, like the iFi, even if you don't have a GPS-enabled camera, will store GPS information in an image's metadata. Which is pretty cool because you don't have to have a GPS, a camera with built-in GPS to use that. And I've read pretty good reviews of that. So this is something coming on. And now that we can do this, all sorts of other opportunities have sprung up. People use services like Gowalla or Foursquare.
Right.
They want to tag where they are, and not necessarily images.
Right.
They'll say, hey, I'm at the pub, on the corner. And
hang out if you're in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Twitter's the same way, and Facebook as well. There's Facebook Places, and there's also that you can turn location data on Twitter if you want to.
Yes, that's right. And that's exactly where I was going to go with this.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you can say this. You could tell people on Twitter and Facebook and through images you shoot with your phone or your digital camera where you are. And that can be great if you want to share details about your vacation. Maybe you're on a business trip and you're somebody who likes to use social media to point out how you're different from everybody else and your colleagues. And that's how you network with your colleagues. And it shows that you're really valuable in your field. Well, maybe you're on a business trip and you're taking photos and you're tagging everything and you're showing people your exact location. And then people realize you're not home, and somebody who happens to know who you are, particularly who you are, and maybe they know where you live, they go, well, you know what? They're not home. So if I went to their house,
there'd be no one.
Maybe
there
no
stop
one
me.
Is there.
Yeah.
And that can be dangerous. Yeah. And it's possible if you don't use your real name on the social network and you're just taking photos. And you could take photos of your summer vacation and post them when you get home.
Right.
And so you have your geotagged photos and you haven't revealed to everybody that you were out last week.
Right.
It's like, well, I'm home now.
Yeah.
So good
luck.
Last week
I went on a vacation to so-and-so. Here are the photos.
Yeah. And that's great. But if you're not careful and you post the wrong information, or the exact right information at the wrong time, you could clue people in that you're not home. Or if you have people that might want to do you harm. I hope that's not the case. But if you have somebody that you've upset and they are following you and know exactly where you are, then they can come find you.
Yeah,
and that could be a little nerve-wracking.
We can dive into this even a little deeper because there are very easy ways where people can find out where you live, that some of which would be under your control and some of which may not. For example, let's say that you've taken a photo of either your home or you're inside your home. Maybe you're throwing a party and you're taking pictures of the party.
Sure.
And let's say you've got the location data turned on there. That metadata is going to be connected to those images. And if you upload those images to certain photo albums, online photo albums, especially if you have it arranged so that it's public, there's the possibility someone could then pull that image, look at the metadata, and say, aha, this is where this person's house is. I did not know that before, but because they've posted these pictures of an event that they weren't thinking about, like, oh, this shows where my house is. They're thinking, this was Bob's party, a surprise party. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We took all these photos. That could be, that could lead to be a problem. It could also be a problem if you, if someone who's visiting you takes photos and then they upload it into some public online photo album and their metadata is turned on. In that case, it's not even under your control. You're not the one who took the photos. But if they tag you in those photos or they mention that you, they're at your house and that data is in that, the, if that metadata is connected to the photo, someone could learn where you live. And this might not be a big deal for some of you. You may not think that that's that scary a notion. And for most of it's probably not. But if you happen to do things like use Twitter or Facebook to post when you go on vacation, like you're saying, I'm leaving tonight. I'm so excited. Well, then that you've just given the clue that, all right, I know where this person lives. I know they're not going to be home. That this is the perfect opportunity to try and rob them. Now, you know, if you're careful about it and you don't share your address, then there's less danger of that happening. If it does happen, you can pretty much narrow it down to the people who know you.
Right.
And then you're thinking, well, there's going to be a reckoning because I know it's one of you jerks and I'm going to narrow it down. But yeah, like I said, with these systems, it can really come back and haunt you. It's kind of interesting, too, also to see which services preserve the metadata and which ones strip it out. So, for example, TwitPic, the metadata is preserved. If you turn your location on in whatever device you're using to capture the photo and you turn it on TwitPic. Now, granted, like I said, you have to choose to share it. So that's an opt-in, which is good. We like opt-in. We don't like opt-out. You know, where you make the conscious choice to share that information.
Right, as a default.
Right. Yes. If it's default to opt into it, that's good. So let's say that you have all that, you share it, that metadata will be preserved. What's interesting to me is one major place where people store photos that strips the metadata out, and I would have never guessed it.
Is it Facebook?
It is. If you upload an image that has metadata in it that connects it to a location and you upload it to your Facebook profile and then someone were to go into that photo album, download the image and open it up in some sort of editor software to kind of see what the metadata is, they are not going to find location data in there.
Interesting.
It strips it out. So Facebook actually does not support geotagging right now as of the recording of this podcast. Now, could that change? It could. It may be that they incorporate pictures in their places feature. And places, of course, is where you virtually check into locations.
Yeah, capital P places.
Yes. And other people can check you into there as well. You have to approve it. But other people, like let's say that you're at a restaurant and your friends are there and your friends are on, you know, going through the Facebook places to check in. They can check you in as well, but you have to approve it before it'll pop up everywhere.
Right.
There may come a time where photographs are also supported by this feature. Right now, they are not. Again, as of the recording of this podcast. So that was interesting to me that Facebook does not actually support geotagging.
Yeah.
Now, you could still tell people where that was if you wanted to. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from putting it in the caption. And there are also services out there that allow you to upload photos and then you put them on a map. Like you physically input the address into the service. So it's not pulling from the metadata of the picture. It's requiring user input to geographically place photos. That's a little different. It still can come back and haunt you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, another example of something there have been a number of articles in the media recently about geotagging and the possibility that it could lead to trouble.
Right.
If you're not careful.
Sure.
And one of those was, you know, if you have a lot of, maybe you're taking, you finally splurged and got that home entertainment system that you've always been wanting.
Yes.
And then you take photos of it and, you know, share that in public with people and you didn't turn off the geotagging on your phone. And some random person happens on it and goes, wow, that is a really nice new entertainment system. I wonder if they're home during the week, during normal business hours when most people are out working. And I have their exact location. So
yikes.
Yeah, that could be hazardous. So yeah, I mean, there are so many things that you could use it for good purposes. Research, personal research, genealogical research. You can use it for geocaching.
Yep.
Purposes too. Well, we had that great podcast a long time ago now, it seems like. But yeah, I mean, there are games that you can play with geographical information. You just have to be careful what you're sharing, and don't forget that there may be some kinds of information you do want to tag and some that you don't.
Yeah. Like if you're making a travel guide for someone and you're giving them suggestions of where to go within a certain city, mm-hmm. geotagging is a great tool. If you're using a website, an interactive website to show people, look, just down the street from this one museum is this really cool restaurant that I recommend because of blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff, it comes in really handy. But yeah, there are other, besides the whole burglary possibility, there's also the question of things like attracting the wrong sort of attention, like stalkers.
Sure.
That's a very real concern, especially if you're using something like Twitter and you don't have a protected feed. Like
yes.
If you have a public feed, that means every single thing you publish is going to be published on the public feed and theoretically anyone can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you are, I don't know, a dashingly handsome co-host of a technology podcast and you take pictures of all your favorite places that you like to go. And then some incredibly attractive young lady who has desires upon this bald, handsome co-host of a technology podcast were to look at those photos and that metadata and say, hey, these are his favorite spots. All I have to do is go to one of these and sooner or later he's going to show up and then I can tell him how much I love him. Why has that not happened yet? I guess yeah. I haven't turned that GPS information on. That's the problem. I haven't. Dang it. There's always something. But mm-hmm. no, seriously though, to be, I'm making light of it, but this is really a very serious situation in that you need to be aware that the information you're sharing could, if you're not careful with it, be used by other people to harass you. And, that we don't want to see that happen. Now, again, we are not telling you don't use geotagging.
Yeah.
Just be aware of when you're using it, the situations you're using it in, and the purpose you're using it. Because, again, it could be a really fun way to share information about yourself, but you may not want to share everything.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. It's just one of those things where we're not saying, no, don't ever do it. Just, just think about it. And, yeah, the odds, someone will invariably write in and say, you said geotagging was bad and I shouldn't do it. Well, yeah, the odds are pretty slim that some of this is going to happen. But, just think about it.
It's just like if you live in, a pretty heavily populized area, right? Like, mm-hmm. let's say, like, you live in a big city.
Right.
You don't normally leave your car unlocked or you leave your house or apartment unlocked because – even though the likelihood that you'll be targeted for a home invasion or a car burglary is low, you don't go tempting fate.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. And again, there are times when using geotagging is perfectly fine. You just you may not want to use it all the time. Like you're visiting your buddy and you're taking pictures. You might want to at least ask your friend.
Yeah.
Like, should I turn geotagging off? Because otherwise people are going to know exactly where this place is.
Well, yeah, and that's funny because that you would say that because I was thinking specifically of the rash of break-ins that has been happening in businesses here in Atlanta mm-hmm. over the past few months. There have been a lot of break-ins in smallish businesses like strip malls from people who are breaking in to steal flat-screen TVs off the walls. Places that are offering TV for their customers in waiting rooms and things like that. If you're taking a picture of some place while you're out, with geotagging information, it's not necessarily your information,
right.
Or you might be the business owner and people are, hey, this is the cool place where I like to go on Thursdays. Everybody who's here, we have trivia night or whatever. And, if you happen to tag that information and it gets posted to the net it could reveal information about your establishment with the kind of equipment that you have available, and it could inadvertently make it known to thieves.
Yeah.
So
now,
it's, you know.
Of course, some businesses go ahead and advertise that.
Sure.
Anyway.
Well,
so,
I mean, you want to. That's, yeah. And
so,
I'm not saying that
that's. There's a balancing
act. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, I don't mean to intimate that that's the reason that that happened. But it could. It could give people clues. And,
sure.
And again, if you're the business owner, then you're going to say, hey, look, I've got this great entertainment. You're going to advertise that. And you're not necessarily going to stop somebody from taking a photo of their friends having a good time at this place because they're going to say, well, yeah, I want
that'll
people
build,
to know.
They'll build word of mouth, and so that helps
it's,
advertise
I
the business.
Know. But,
yeah, no, it's a tricky situation. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think of it even a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to kind of segue this into a discussion about privacy in the web in general, in the sense that I recently read an essay and then responded to it.
Uh-huh.
The essay was "Your Life Torn Open: Sharing Is a Trap," written by Andrew Keen. It was published on Wired.co.uk.
Okay.
On February 3rd, 2011, and in it, Keen bemoans the fact that we are reaching a point where everyone is sharing lots of information about themselves,
mm-hmm.
not just geotagging. But that is an element of it. But
sure.
Everything, like, you know, thoughts and relationships, and that privacy is becoming decreasingly important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Keen's point was that this is going to mean that humanity itself will change because privacy is part of being human. And if we eradicate privacy, then we're eradicating part of what it is to be human. And I took umbrage to a couple of his points, one of which was that I don't feel that social networking necessarily means that you lose all your privacy.
Right.
Because in most of these situations, you have, first of all, you have the choice of whether or not to use the social networking at all.
Yes. And that is an important thing to note.
It's not compulsory.
Yeah. There's no law that says you have to be on Twitter, Facebook, et cetera.
Right. And second of all, most of these services have levels of protection that you can choose to either initiate or turn off.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with the TwitPic thing that I mentioned, you know, you have to have the GPS location stuff turned on your smartphone or camera, and you have to have it turned on TwitPic for that to take effect. If it's not turned on TwitPic, that metadata will not be included. And so you don't, you know, you have to choose to share this information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's something where Big Brother has appeared and we're all for. He was making a lot of 1984 references.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and here's the thing is that in 1984, if you don't know that story, in 1984, it's a government mandated society where people are under observation all the time by a very oppressive, very invasive government. There's no choice there.
Mm-hmm.
But with social networking, it's all choice. You can choose, you know, how much you share and how little you share.
That's right.
And I also just don't think that it's going to lead to the downfall of mankind. So I had some things to say about that. And if you want to read more, I wrote a blog post about it. And if you want to read Keen's essay, I do recommend reading it. He makes some good points, things that I do not disagree with. I just felt that some of his central premises were a little faulty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other element is the idea between using the internet to share this information versus using your memory to remember stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked about that in the past. We talked about Nicholas Carr's famous article, "Is Google Making Us Stupid?"
Right.
We did a whole episode about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The idea being that we are using computers and the cloud to store information that normally we would just store in our own memories. Nicholas Carr's point was that he felt he was losing, this was very anecdotal, but he felt he was losing the ability to retain information, that he couldn't even maintain focus on anything that took longer than a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
because the internet had conditioned him, right?
Mm-hmm.
The web had conditioned him to accept information in a website, like a web page sized amount, and then that's it. You can't go more than that. So he couldn't read a book anymore.
Yeah, I think that's funny because that's one of the points that David Allen makes in his Getting Things Done,
mm-hmm.
is life can be very stressful if you have a lot of things to manage. So writing things down or recording them in some fashion, it doesn't necessarily have to be written, is a good way to take the stress off. Because once you have it written down in a place where you're going to go back and look, you're less likely to forget to do that thing, to accomplish that thing. And that's just one of the points he made. It's one of many points he makes in the book. The important thing, again, to note is he suggests writing it down, like on a paper planner is sort of where he started. He said, well, you know, if you have an electronic system that you prefer to use, but it's not the technology specific. It's not because we have Twitter and geotagging that we're giving away our privacy. It's what we're doing with the technology.
Right, right.
As individuals and making our individual choices on what to do with that technology, no matter. I mean, you could write your location down on a piece of paper and, you know, copy it 500 times and give it out to people. You wouldn't have the same reach as you would if you were doing this on the internet, but you're still giving away important information about you.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not the technology per se. It's what you're doing with it and what you're sharing with it that matters.
Right. And I really find Carr's point interesting, and the idea that he thinks it's a scary thing to lose that ability to retain information.
Yeah.
You know, because we essentially feel like we've offloaded that off our brains so we can free up our brains. We don't need to remember stuff because it's somewhere else. For example, I used to be able to rattle off the phone numbers of all of my close friends and my family members.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm able to remember about four of them.
Yes, because you have them in your smartphone.
Exactly. They're all in my contacts list. I don't have to remember. I just go to the picture of the person and say, hey, there's the dude I want to talk to. Click on his picture and there I go.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is something to his argument. What I thought was interesting is I read another point where this seems like it's almost the opposite take. A fellow by the name of Kevin Slavin wrote an essay called The Ebb of Memory.
Mm-hmm.
This was part of a book called This Will Change Everything. It's a series of essays from various experts in various fields kind of giving their take on what will change everything.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, several copies have been floating around the
HowStuffWorks
editorial department. So.
Yes. So Slavin's point was that it was, like I said, kind of the opposite. He said that human memory, the fact that human memory degrades over time, is a good thing. That the typical person, they will experience something, they will remember it, and over time, aspects of that memory will change. We will drop certain details. We may add certain things that did not happen into the memory, and we will misremember. I mean, this is why anecdotal evidence is not entirely, reliable.
Right.
It's why when you bring witnesses in court cases, especially for something that happened years and years ago, the testimonial evidence is sometimes less reliable than any physical evidence you found.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because we don't remember things exactly the way they happen necessarily. And he says this is a good thing because if something tragic happens in our lives over time, we are able to distance ourselves. We forget certain things. We don't feel that pain the same way when we think back as we did when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who have perfect memory.
Right.
Total recall, where they are able to remember every single thing that they've encountered with absolute clarity. And they explain, they describe their experiences as being just as raw as when it first happened. So the happiest moments of their lives, when they think on those moments, they experience those emotions as if it had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the most tragic things. And Slavin's point is that is really a tough life.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to live that life where you can think back on the things that happened that maybe you're ashamed of, or maybe something that just hurt your feelings, and to experience that all over again, it's really hard to live with that. His point was that by offloading all this on the web, we are preserving that information.
Right.
All the information exists on computers or in the cloud. We can access it at any time. And then because information on computers and in the cloud does not change, it's not like computers forget things.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
We're going to see the details exactly as how we first put them in when we recorded them the first time.
Yeah.
And so Slavin's argument was that this sharing that we're doing, this disregard of privacy, will ultimately mean that we will live as if we have perfect memories, and that as a result, we will always be in danger of feeling the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, because we are not giving our memory the chance to incorporate these things into our experience and then just and evolve over time.
Right, right.
So that's kind of fascinating too. And again, it relates back to geotagging because we can now record the events of our lives on with a level of detail that is far beyond anything that anyone else has been able to do automatically.
Right.
Like, I mean, you could have done it in the past, but it took more work. It took your work to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because one of the articles that I read in preparation for the podcast was an older piece that Charlie Sorrell did mm-hmm. for Wired. I mean, this was really before there were automated systems. I mean, I'm sure there were things that you could do, but he was relying on the then new memory cards that had the built-in GPS system. So he said, you know, basically the technology hadn't been made popular at that point mm-hmm. to automatically geotag and send photos.
Right.
So it was still sort of a new thing. And, you know, you could use – if you could sync up the date or the time, actually, the time on your GPS receiver and your camera mm-hmm. via the timestamp, then it's, you know, easy to sync up, as you were saying before. You may not necessarily have the information stored. You may have to write it down, but at least you had some sort of record of doing that. You know, so there are ways to do that even before it became a popular technology to build right in. Of course, those of us with smartphones, you know, I've been playing around with that since I got an Android phone myself.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's so much easier now to automatically do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be the problem if you're somebody who wants to do it sometimes, but not other times. If you just leave it enabled, you may inadvertently save information, or if you leave it off all the time, you may wish you had done it later, you know.
Yeah. And we should point out that, you know, I talked a lot about the services that automatically incorporate the metadata mm-hmm. into them. You don't even if you aren't using a service that does that, if the metadata is there, it is possible to see it. It just means that the person who's looking at the photo has to open it in a application that will show that metadata.
Sure.
So a lot of photo editors do it. Even photo viewers in the more recent operating systems will let you see that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have an older operating system, like, I don't know, people who are using certain computers for certain companies, you may not be able to see that metadata because the operating system came into being and the applications came into being before GPS metadata was included with photos.
Yeah. Or so, at least before it came popular.
Right. So you don't have that access. I found that out. I went through all of the programs I have where I can manipulate photos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I tried to see which ones would let me see the metadata that included GPS location, which ones don't. I have one program on this computer that lets me see metadata.
Well, like it's definitely becoming more popular.
Yes,
just so about every editing software now that's, you know,
yes,
designed for the consumer.
Yeah.
Now, if you're using really high end stuff, well, they may include it, but it's not necessarily something that, you know.
Even things like Windows need. Picture Viewer.
Yeah.
In the more recent operating systems, you can find the metadata there.
Yeah. And iPhoto for the Mac with its, yeah, you know, it's got features. For
right.
That. So, yeah.
So, yeah, if you have a newer machine, if you have like Windows 7 or I believe even Windows Vista, uh-huh, you would be able to view this information pretty simply just by looking at the properties and looking for that location data. It might be in longitude and latitude, but all you have to do there is copy and paste it into a program like just like Google Maps, and mm-hmm, that'll show you exactly where that location is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting technology. It has a lot of legitimate uses, a lot of fun uses.
Sure.
They're just like any other tool. There are good ways to use it and bad ways to use it, and you should be aware of both before you just go out there and start clicking pictures of everything.
Yeah.
So that was a good discussion, and I apologize for getting very philosophical toward the end of it, but I just felt that was one of those things that, you know, is really interesting to me, and I wanted to dive into it.
Yeah, and again, it's like anything else. There are good points and bad points mm-hmm. to recording that information.
Yep, so. Yep. So if you guys have any stories you want to share or any thoughts about privacy and the web and what its role is, do you think privacy is a thing of the past? Do you think we're actually going to get to a point where we will all, either by choice or perhaps by force, no longer have privacy? Let us know. You can let us know on Twitter and Facebook. The handle there is TechStuff, HSW, or you can shoot us an email. That address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com, and Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.